Welcome back. Peyton, I would like you to tell the audience the joke that you just said before I hit record.
Dude, I looked at this mic and you said, hey, dude, you're going to have to literally eat the mic so we can hear you. And I was like, okay, well, can we get some butter to go on this corner of a cob that's right in front of me?
You can't say that before we start recording because Megan and I lost it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was really, really funny.
I hope I mean, it was, you know, it was really funny.
I mean, I didn't know I had to get, you know, literally my teeth was touching the.
You don't have to be that close, but like. Sometimes when you talk, your baseball hat hits the wall. Like you just got to be a little closer.
Man, I'm trying here.
No, you're good.
I've been trying.
We're doing good.
We're doing great. I feel a lot better this week.
Yeah,
a whole lot better.
This episode is fun.
It is. It's very fun. It's probably one of the most fun ones.
Yeah. It's weird that this is the most fun episode, but we're talking about trauma.
True. It's very true.
Very true. And I would like you to explain something. What was the look? Was there a look that I was giving you?
Yeah, I was trying to ask questions, and I didn't notice it till today. I looked over Ryan as I was asking the question. He was looking at me like, Peyton, please, it's a very simple question. Just literally speak words and just ask the question.
That is not what was behind these eyes. That is not what was going on in this brain.
I was like, oh no, I'll start sweating bullets over here.
I
was like,
no, in that moment, I was thinking about like how far we've come since that first episode.
Very true.
With Tal Stanley. And like last week we were in we're back in the new studio this week.
We are. It feels so much better in here.
This is definitely not our second time recording this, but we're back in the new studio. It's really cool in here. During the last episode when we were recording in the old studio, like in between the interviews, you and I were like taking layers off because it was so hot in there.
Yeah, I know. No kidding.
Yeah.
The nostalgia, though, us being in there.
Right?
Yeah.
The smell?
Yes.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
It was.
Meg is back this week. Hey, Meg
is back. Hey, Meg.
Hi, everyone. I'm back.
Meg got us some water today.
I did get waters.
Yeah. Can you tell us something happened when you bought the water, right?
I went to the Love's gas station, just as one does when they just want to pick something up.
Yeah.
Ryan had very nicely requested some Sour Patch Kids, even though he might be allergic to them. We bought them because they make you salivate and they make you sound good on the mic.
They do.
You know? And I bought three waters and then a case of waters for next time.
Oh,
but
look at this.
I bought the three waters and there was a man standing behind me and he tapped on my shoulder and asked me, do I know if the water is good? And we've gotten rave reviews of this water today. So
I don't know.
I might have to go back and find him and tell him that the water was amazing.
I don't know what you put in this water or what he put in this water, but Peyton did, like in the middle of the episode, you audibly said, this water is so good.
It is so good. No kidding. I did that. I thought the water was great. Hey, I think I might know what might be in the air.
What is it?
I think it's that fall break fever. Woo!
Fall break is next week.
I can't wait. I need a break.
I know. I'll be in Florida.
Hey, nice
pending
weather
any hurricanes. Yeah. However, Studio B audience, don't you worry. We have an episode recorded that's going to drop next week.
Yeah. Or I don't fall break, so we don't have to. Yeah, everything's great.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we've got some listeners out there who
are
dependent
that's
upon these episodes. I was walking to class someday and somebody grabbed my shoulder and was like, "Hey, I love your podcast." And I've never talked to this person before.
Yeah, some random person came up to me and said, "Hey, y'all podcast is great. Just, you know, turn the music down the tad so that we can hear you." But other than that, hey, we're learning and we're doing great.
Local celebrities, Ryan Payton and
that's Matt right
with Studio B. So anyway, we had the awesome interview with Jenny today, where she talks a little bit about a book that we're going to talk some more about next week in our interview with Megan Hamilton. So sit back, relax, get some premium purified drinking water with electrolytes added for taste from your local Love's gas station. And here's our episode with Jenny Moore. Hey, welcome to Studio B, the Emory and Henry College Bonner Scholar podcast. Join Ryan and Peyton as they discuss themes of place, community, and common ground.
This is Studio B.
Welcome, Jenny, to Studio B, the Emory and Henry College Bonner podcast. How are you?
Well, I'm great. How are you all doing?
We're doing good.
We're doing great.
Perfect.
We're doing awesome.
Jenny, where are you right now?
I am at my home in Marion, Virginia, just down the road from you all.
Just down 81.
Nice.
Right down the interstate. Yep.
Before I came to this college, everybody like scared me. They're like, oh, you got to get on I-81 to get there. Like, oh, it's like you're gonna, there's so many trucks going by. That thing, I'm the boss on the interstate now.
I'm like, glad. I'm really glad you are. I do not like the interstate whatsoever.
Trucks get over when they see my little Subaru Crosstrack when they get on there.
That's right. I freak out. I can't. Chew.
Awesome. So, Jenny, we've met a few times before through the chats event. We had Amelia Terry on in our last episode, and she's kind of taken over chats, running that project through Bonner. And then I've met you through Megan Hamilton, who we also had on, whose episode is about to come out here pretty soon. So it's kind of like we're making a big circle with all of our guests and some of the
like
themes.
Connecting. I like that. That's awesome.
I didn't know that was going to happen when we started this, but here we are. So Jenny, can you just tell us a little bit about your background and the work that you do?
Well, sure. So a big part of my background includes being a student in Embry and Henry, where I studied education and got my undergrad and master's degree in education there, and was an elementary school teacher. And from doing that work, got interested in mental health and wellness. And so for the last 10 plus years, I've been working in the mental health field. Most recently, I'm working for Mount Rogers Community Services, where we provide services in our community to help promote hope and provide services to help people with holistic wellness.
That sounds awesome. What made you make that switch from being in the classroom to working in this mental health field? Were there some factors that went into that? Is this like where your heart is in this work?
It is where my heart is. I think being in the schools and you know, hearing the stories and seeing the young folks come in there and have so many needs outside of just academic opportunities to afford them. There were all these other kind of life skills and mental and physical health needs that I felt like being called to do more in that realm. And so it was just kind of a fateful event where I was at a picnic and heard about some work needing to be done as an educator in the mental health field. And from there, got an opportunity to really delve in and get some education and learning about trauma, mental health and wellness, and then be able to go back and share that in the schools and in the community so that we could work more on these other parts of health and wellness and healthy lives for youth and people of all ages in our community. So yeah, I'm really passionate about it and love what I'm doing.
That's awesome. Yeah, it sounds like you've got a lot of really great work to be done. What are some of the projects that you're working on right now through Mount Rogers in your title?
Well, so my title is Trauma Recovery Coordinator, which basically means that I am working in communities to help people focus on what can we do to be aware of trauma, to understand trauma and its impacts on the health and wellness of people who are in our communities, and how can we come together to do things to build these resilient, healthier places for people to be and live and work and thrive together. And so you mentioned one thing that I'm working on that's really exciting, which is chats, our Connecting Humans and Telling Stories project, where we're providing some tools and opportunity for people to connect and really learn how to build relationship. So that's a really exciting project that I've been working on. One other thing that's coming up that we're going to be doing this weekend, just down 81, if any of you all are interested in coming to join us, we are having this really cool pilot program called the Appies, and it's got a silent H in front of it. So it looks like happy, but you don't hear the H. And that is this clean and sober, safe space for people in recovery and for folks who support them to come and be present and have an inclusive space to belong at festivals and events where there might be a focus on alcohol or other substances. And so we're going to be piloting that event in Marion at the downtown annual chili cook-off. And we're going to have events and activities and nachos and cider and lots of really cool and fun stuff for people to participate in.
That sounds awesome.
That sounds like a fun environment.
I think we might be
That's
there.
Cool.
I mean,
that sound cool.
I didn't have anything planned. And nachos.
Woo!
We like nachos. That sounds really awesome, Jenny. When we were looking up some of the Mount Rogers services, I think Peyton found something about.
Yeah, it mentioned about Forest Fridays. What's Forest
Fridays?
Can you
tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Well, sure. Yeah, Forest Fridays is a project that we just started this year. So back in the spring, we partnered with Hungry Mother State Park, Virginia State Parks. And we are thinking about ways that we can promote health and wellness in the community, and what better resource in southwestern Virginia than nature and the natural world, and how we can add that to our toolbox of ways to be healthy and well. And so we got to work on creating a little program where we focus on use a structure called the Five Bridges of Wellness, which are really basic five tools of ways that we can be healthy and well together that everyone can use. And so we worked together with the staff at the park, creating some programming where we could talk about health and wellness and how we could incorporate nature into those practices. And we've done two sessions of that. We did a spring and a summer session, and we're getting ready to, have a fall session in the works. And our plans and hopes are to then be able to, expand that program to some other parks that we have in our region and in our state.
That's so cool. So as a trauma person who like handles things like this, have you found that there is there's a connection between healing and nature with people?
Yeah. I haven't found that. There is research done on that. We can see that when we have our program, but what the real experts on the topic tell us is that just 5 hours a month in nature have measurable positive outcomes for both physical and mental health. And so, we've heard stories of people who've been coming out saying that they've really felt and seen the benefit, and they continue their time in nature beyond coming to our programs. So
that is so cool. I just read the other day, which is probably yesterday, that that a new study found that walking every day decreases your chance of getting dementia by 50%.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy?
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Jenny, I feel like your job is a lot of like taking the research and these proven methods and then applying them to community. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I think there is a lot of that that we do in our prevention and wellness is the office that I fall under, or the programming that I fall under. So we're working to provide skills and opportunities for people to be healthy and well now, ways that they can incorporate those practices like you're talking about into life now to hopefully lower the risk of negative health outcomes, like you mentioned, dementia or other mental or physical health things that could cause us not to have the best quality of life.
You heard it here first. Jenny is telling you to go outside practice these tools that you have to do that preventative healthcare, which sounds really cool. So a couple weeks ago, we talked with Amelia Terry on chats. And Jenny, like I said, that's where I met you. How did you feel about chats? It's something that you all started last semester in Marion, and now we're doing it here in Emory. I just want to kind of get your perspective on it as an employee of Mount Rogers and somebody who works in the community.
Well, I think chats has been one of the most exciting pieces of work and opportunities to really build community and create the sense of belonging in our spaces. And to me, and with what we know in health and wellness now, that really creating those opportunities for connection and support and acceptance and inclusion are the foundation of healthy living. And so having chats as a tool to promote that and to help people learn skills how to do that is really Something that I feel is like innovative and exciting in this work of prevention and wellness, where we're coming together to learn these things and be together as a community.
That's so awesome. Yeah, we really like chats. I went to the last one that we had in Marion, and then I went to the first one. It's a 3-part series. I went to the first one on the Emory campus, and there were a lot more students in this one, less community members, but
it's good that students are getting more involved, yeah, with it, which is great because they have it here.
Yeah,
so it's easy. It's
somebody come up to me after, and he was like, "Man, that was so cool." I was like, "You should have been at Marion because it was even cooler." Because we were in this old theater on a stage. And it had all these like murals and like cool like carvings. It was weird. And it was so weird and so cool. It was like exit through the gift shop kind of like vibe, because you had to walk through this weird corridor and you go into this big like majestic theater, and there's all these chairs set up, and you talk to all these people that that's you've cool. never met before. Yeah. And
you make a connection.
Yes.
That's, ain't that cool?
It was so cool. I'm blown away. I love chats so much. If I wasn't doing this podcast, I would definitely be on the top of the list to work with chats. But something that Megan mentioned that kind of also deals with you, Jenny, she talked about the book, What Happened to You, the new trauma book that you actually gave me a copy of at the end of the chat sessions for helping you out with that. So can you expand a little bit on this new book that people are raving about? And Megan described it as kind of like putting your foot in the water when it comes to trauma research and dealing with things like that.
Yeah, this book is written by Dr. Bruce Perry and co-authored by Oprah Winfrey. So Dr. Bruce Perry is this well-known researcher on trauma and has been doing this for his whole career. And he's been working with Oprah, who is a person who shared stories that have made impact on our life and history in the way that she's done that. And so this book is really cool in that it gives this kind of basic understanding of trauma and how it impacts our mind and body and behaviors, but it does it in a way that's not so scholarly or like hard to delve into, because it does it through storytelling. And so it tells these stories that give us illustrations of how people's experiences shape their behaviors and shape their relationships and shape their interactions with the world. So it's a really good and easy read. And I think it's a read that gives us kind of a glimpse into some other people's experiences, which can expand our knowledge and community and maybe encourage some more empathy and compassion and understanding for people who've lived different lives. So it's really a cool book. I suggest everyone check that one out.
Yeah, I just started it. Megan brought it up and I was like, where have I seen that book? And like I said last time, I keep the TV in my dorm room propped up with stacks of books that I've read, and I needed to kind of level it out. So I pulled that one off the shelf and put it on there, and I was like, now I got to find a book to replace it so my TV's even. But it's really worth it. I always think when it comes to trauma is that third chair perspective, you know, of practicing empathy and standing in everybody's shoes when it comes to these conversations and building this community.
Yeah. Nice. Well, there's a word, resilient, that can mean many different things of many perspectives of many different people.
Yeah.
Well, Meg, our producer, found a quote of you saying that you want to help build better and more resilient communities. What does resilient mean to you?
That's a good question.
Well, I think of resilience as being able to bounce back. When we're resilient, we spring back. And so sometimes, you know, it's hard to spring back without a little support from everybody else. So you can think of like a bouncy ball. We drop it. It's pretty light. It's pretty buoyant. It bounces right back. And there we go. So it can have like some life experience that drops it from a high place, and we can come back from that. But maybe we drop a bowling ball and it's a little harder to bounce back. It's not going to bounce back on its own, right? Like this light, buoyant, bouncy ball. So we might need some support or help from other people to pick up this bowling ball to help it bounce back and get back to its place or where it needs to be. And so I think when we think about resilience and we think about trauma, sometimes we have this idea that can kind of be divisive, where we say, oh, you've been through tough things, you must be really strong, or it helped you be strong, helped you become stronger, or you know, you're really able to bounce back. And we kind of overlook this idea that there's been this hard place that someone's been, or that someone should be able to do that on their own, like the bouncy ball. And what we remember, and I think that connects us more when we hear people's stories and learn about this idea of resilience, is that it's okay when, you know, life really stinks, or we're really stuck in this low place, or we just can't bounce back on our own. That's where this idea of community and support and acceptance and belonging come in, that we aren't meant to live and thrive on our own, doing it all by ourselves, pulling ourselves up from our bootstraps. We have to have other people supporting us to be resilient and to bounce back at times. And that's normal and natural. And that's what we're trying to create through all these efforts that we're doing, this network or web of support and help and cushion for one thing, when we fall, when we drop.
I love that example.
Me too. Me too.
I feel like a lot of people that we pass every day think that we're all the same bouncy ball, you know, when it comes to, and some of us are bowling balls with things and basketballs and baseballs. And
hey,
that's a really good way to put that, Jenny. There's been a lot of themes that I've noticed through that we're highlighting on this podcast through through chats and through different Bonner projects, all that happened through the awesome Appalachian Center for Civic Life here. And Jenny, you know about that because you were a student here, so you're well coursed with what we have going on here. But the other day I found myself writing a reflection about it, and I noticed some things that I think are true with Mount Rogers and with chats and with everything. And that is that each of us, we are more than the circumstances that we are in. And I feel like that's kind of hard for people to accept sometimes. But what are your thoughts on that, Jenny?
Yeah, when we think about how we're made up as people, I used to talk about this example in one of the classes I did, where we imagine all the thumbprints that make up our being. And so you imagine how many thumbprints you could put all over yourself. You know, I could fit 1,000 thumbprints on my body, or 1,000,000 thumbprints. Well, each one of those thumbprints represents something that's unique and special about ourselves, about us as an individual. And so if we start thinking about ourselves as this like mosaic of thumbprints or whatever, then just one of those thumbprints represents something hard or heavy or negative or sad that we've experienced. There's so many more things that make us who we are, and some of, you know, our different thumbprints shine at different times, but we always have to keep in mind that we're more than just one thing that's going on with us. And I think about that in terms of our stories and how that makes up who we are. And you know, when we think about our stories, we can't necessarily change our stories or what has happened to us, but we can allow our stories to change us, so we can learn and grow and understand and kind of gather these thumbprints or gather these stories to make up this book of 1,000,000 pages of who we are and where we've been and what we can gain and what we can give to the world around us. It's really a pretty cool and amazing thing if we can find that acceptance of all those pieces of who we are, and if people around us can find the way to accept us too.
I heard it in one of my civic innovation classes that we are all broken people who break other people. And so the question was like, what do we do with those broken pieces? And to me, I think we can take our pieces and compare them to each other and be like, you know what, this part of your life looks a little bit like mine. And I think that's building common ground.
Yeah, correct. Like how could the community of like Emory and like, I guess, Southwest Virginia and around us, how could they get involved with the work that you do?
Well, always reaching out to my pals at the Appalachian Center, because we partner on so many things, but also feel free to reach out to us at Mount Rogers. I can share my information if you want to do that, but we've got, yeah, we are provide resources and services for people through all ages and all parts of life. So there are lots of ways to get involved and learn more about what we do and participate in it.
We will share that with our audience and everybody that we know how to get involved with Mount Rogers. I ask a lot of the same questions on this podcast, just because I like I like hearing people.
But this one's important. This one.
This is a good one.
Yeah, this is a very good
Jenny, one. Is there a story or a time in your experience doing this that you would say has kept you doing this work?
Oh, gosh, I can think of so many reasons that I've kept doing this. But I think one of the things that keeps me doing this is just the hope that I feel and the hope that I see others gain by connecting with each other. So I feel like a big part of what we do in Mount Rogers, where we're promoting hope and providing services, is we're these like community connectors, connecting people to the things, the people, the services, the resources that they need to kind of live these best lives that are just the right fit for them. And so, you know, seeing that happen is really cool. And one of the main things that really got me into this work, that like catapulted me in, and I see stories like this happening again, is when I was teaching school, I had a student who was really struggling with their mental health and wellness. And at that time, I didn't know a lot of resources or have access to a lot of resources. And this was back in the early 2000s, when we weren't really talking about it so much as a community and as a nation. And so he needed to have some inpatient care for his mental illness. And both of his parents were working actually at that time for Mount Rogers Community Services. And so through their help and their education, their understanding, he was able to join back into our classroom and finish out that year. And then I've kept up with him over the years. And now he is actually working on a counseling degree himself. So he needed some support. He was in a place where we needed to reach out and provide things for him. He received that, and he's living this healthy, fulfilling life where he's able to give back now. And so it's this like full circle of when we help someone, they can help someone else. And so seeing those examples all day in these interactions of people needing help and then being able to give help again is really what keeps me excited.
I really like that word you used there, hope. I heard somebody say that, we do this, we have this sort of blind optimism for the work that we do. And then somebody took that and said, no, we don't have blind optimism. We have grounded hope, which I think is a better way to put that. So Jenny, you definitely have grounded hope in the work that you do. And like we say with a lot of people, you definitely have a heart for this work. Correct. And we can see that through the work you're doing. So thank you so much for joining us on Studio B. We hope to see you at some of the events that you're doing, and we hope to see you at the next Chats event, which is coming up this month.
Yeah, I will definitely see you all there, and come by for some chili and nachos and cider and community building this Saturday, October 8th, downtown Marion.
Saturday, October 8th, I think, Peyton, we will be at the nachos, right?
The nachos.
Do a little meet and greet for the podcast.
That would be cool.
We'll be signed. I'll bring some Sharpies.
Perfect. Awesome.
Jenny, thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your week.
Yeah, thank you all. Have a good day, afternoon.
Studio B is part of the Emory and Henry College Bonner Scholar Program through the Appalachian Center for Civic Life. Studio B is produced by Meg Askew and edited by Ryan Vaughn. To listen to past episodes, go to anchor.fm/ehstudioB or wherever you listen to podcasts.